The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to the Swim Swam Breakdown 2022 U.S. World Championship Trials Edition. This is the day four finals. Instant reactions. I'm Coleman Hodges, joined by Ben Dornan. Ben, get it started for me. First event, men's 100, not first event of the night, but first event we're talking about, men's 100 back. Hunter Armstrong gets the job done again. 52-2. 100 backstroke. He's been on a roll. What do you make of this for Hunter Armstrong?
Yeah, just a continuation of what we were saying last night. He said after kind of, I don't know if it was before or after NCAAs, but he wanted to prove himself this summer and show that last year wasn't a fluke, show that it wasn't just a one Olympics and done. And I think that we're seeing that in the wake of people like Matt Grievers and David Plummer and a lot of the people, kind of the most recent leg of the U.S. elite backstroke tradition having retired, we're seeing that Hunter Armstrong is emerging as kind of the second to Ryan Murphy right now. You know, making the Olympics was step one and he did that. And then we were kind of unsure this year at NCAAs because he was a little bit off where he's been, but you know, making a world record and beating Ryan Murphy in the 100 backstroke is definitely establishing himself. I think he looks good this summer in terms of a medal threat with Kolesnikov and Rylov, who are two of the medalists from the backstrokes last year, not being there. Because really, aside from the medalists last year, the backstroke field worldwide is not one of the deepest in any of the events. So yeah, the momentum for men's backstroke is actually looking, I think, a lot better for the Americans this year than it did last year.
Well, and we've still got so many guys behind them, right? We had Justin Ress and Shane Casas just nipping at their heels. I think we all thought Shane Casas was going to go a little faster than he did overall at this meet, but he's still on the team in the two back. So it's like our backstroke core is looking good for world champs, and it's also looking deep just moving forward into you know, the next few years. Looking at the women's 100 backstroke, Reagan Smith, U.S. Open record, 57.7, fastest she has been since breaking her world record when she did 57.5. Talking to her in the media room tonight, she was asked about her 200 back, where she went 205.6, and she was actually really happy with that swim, even though she got third and didn't make the world champs team in it, saying that that was her third fastest swim ever, aside from going 203.3, which is the world record at the 2019 World Champ semifinals, and 203.6 in the world 2019 World Champ finals to win the event. So she was really happy with that. And she was saying how that swim has kind of haunted her and kind of followed her. And she's now kind of looked to remake herself as a swimmer and just kind of blank slate, start fresh. And it seems like she's really been able to do that again, going her third fastest time in the 200, going a huge personal best in the 50 back, and then tonight going her second fastest time ever in the 100 back.
Yeah, I think on the topic of Reagan, I feel like I might have sold her a little short when I was talking about her the other night, because even though 3 years ago she did that 203, she wasn't swimming that fast in April or in May of that year. Like she progressed to that in the summer. So even though she didn't make the team here, I think that she definitely had the potential to get back down into the 204, 203 range if she had made the team, and she only missed it by less than half a second, I'm pretty sure, behind Ryan White. So yeah, it's not like she has to be done with the 200 backstroke. A 205 at this point in the season is still really strong for her. And I think that this 100 showed that she still has the ability to be at the top of the top of her game and at the top of the game.
Yeah. So she's looking really good heading into this. Claire Curzan what was she tonight? 58.3? Is that right? 58.5? Let me see. Sorry, I'm pulling it up now. Claire Curzan, 58.39. Huge personal best. She got second to make the team. She now has 4 individual events and still has the 50 free left. I was hoping Claire Curzan was going to pop off in a big way, and she did, right? I mean, she hasn't gone. I think that was her, it might have been her first, the second personal best of the weekend after the 50 fly. But I mean, she's got 4 individual events now, which is just crazy. Like, you add on relays to that, and she, you know, it's maybe 7 medal meet for her.
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of, I think Claire Curzan is definitely a testament to the versatility that we're seeing on the women's team right now. You know, Alex Walsh getting in that 200 free final and being a competitive 400 IMer, and then seeing her swim the 100 breast tonight. Kate Douglas being a elite sprint freestyler, butterflyer, and IMer and breaststroker. And Curzan is there too. You know, she's definitely a sprinter, but she can do all 3 of those strokes. Who knows how good she is in breaststroke? I'm sure she could just think about what good there. But yeah, Curzan. So now she has 4 individual events already. Could make the 50 free. Who knows what relay she'll swim? She'll be on the medley relay prelims, maybe in backstroke or butterfly. Who knows?
I think we have an article coming out about this, right?
About the medley relay. Yeah. All the different potentials. I think the person writing that read said that her making the backstroke made the article just even more interesting, because we weren't sure if she was going to get in the top 2, but of course she did. And yeah, it just shows.
So let's,
how, sorry, go ahead.
Well, sorry. Let's discuss that a little bit. Let's break it down for just a few minutes for our listeners out there. So Curzan qualified 2nd in the 100 free, 100 back, and 100 fly. So, you know, in a prelims of the women's 400 medley relay, usually you have those swimmers swimming in the prelims. Obviously she can only do 1 of those 3 strokes.
Right.
So, I mean, but let's think about who they can pull off the top of my head. Ryan White's on the team in the 200 back. She can, so is Catherine Burkhoff's on the team in the 50 back.
Yeah.
So either of those could very easily be pulled in. They both went 58 tonight. So it's not like we're losing much to pull them in on a prelims medley relay. For freestyle, I mean, you obviously have 4 other women, the top 6 who were qualified in that 400 free relay. Who is your pick for that one?
For the medley relay, I don't know. I could see them using Natalie Hines, maybe. She didn't make the event individually, but she was one of the strongest parts of the relay last summer. So if they could just throw her on the medley relay there and then have her swim in the final of the 4x100 freestyle and maybe the prelims of the 4x100 freestyle, I think adding another 100 is probably good for her, for anyone to just get like another race in, even though it's prelims. So yeah, maybe Natalie Hines. Erica Brown also is an interesting one that you could put on the medley relay. Maybe even in the butterfly. I don't know. She's definitely stronger in the freestyle, but if you threw her in the butterfly for prelims, that could work out. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it seems we certainly have options, but it seems like the path is fairly clear, especially with Natalie and Erica, as freestyle options, because they're so consistent and they're pretty reliable. It's like that's going to be a really good prelims relay, right? It's like Ryan White or Catherine Burkhoff, Annie Laser, Claire Curzan, Hines or Brown. It's like that's going to get you into finals, certainly.
Yeah.
Right. And this is all assuming that, you know, they stay the same place as they did at trials, but then finals relay, you have Reagan, Lily, Tori, and
so who won the 100 free,
right? So who goes freestyle on that's, I guess that's the other conundrum, right?
It was Tori won the 100 free and Claire was 2nd in the 100 free, is that right?
Yes, that is right.
I guess it makes it kind of nice that it's the 2 of them that were 1-2 in the free and the fly, so like you have a strong option either way. I guess it'll be whoever's looking stronger in the fly and whoever's looking stronger in the free.
Yeah.
See how they make that decision in Budapest.
I wonder when the last time somewhat the same person, the same woman, won the 100 fly and the 100 free, right? Or at a meet like this. I wonder if that's ever happened.
Yeah, I can't think of many people who've been that.
So, because
dominant in the free and the fly. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, now it's kind of like, do you put Claire in for fly and Tori in for free, or do you, you know, see how the freestyle anchor does in the morning and then put them on it? Yeah, that's
I guess it also depends on where the medley relay is in relation to the individual events. Will they get to see their individual free and fly before? Yeah,
the medley relays are always at the end.
Okay.
And I think the women's medley relay is the very last event of the meet.
Okay.
So yeah, I think the only potential doubles would be 50 free for Claire and Tori if they end up making it in the 50 free.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, I think if it's the same as 2019 schedule, but that's going to be really interesting. So lots of medley relay options. I'm really excited to see how the coaches on Team USA do for that. We talked about backstroke. Let's go to breaststroke. Lily and Annie qualified 1-2 in the 100 breast. That was a big yay moment for that narrative and for the IU crew, certainly. Defending Olympic gold medalist Lydia Jacoby got fourth, even though she was only 0.09 away from Annie Laser, who got second. What do you see for Lydia moving forward?
I don't know. I was actually expecting her to win or to come second, at least in this event. She was obviously such a not even considered option last year. Like in the preview, I think we mentioned her as someone who had done good at a pro swim heading into trials in 2021. So I think that even though we were looking at her results since Tokyo, she did some short course meets in the fall and some long course meets this winter and wasn't, you know, anywhere near where she was in the summer when she won gold. But I definitely was expecting her to fight for a spot in the top two. And she did. She was not too far off, but it's definitely disappointing to go from Olympic gold to not making the team this year. I think that an interesting part about her racing is that Braden tweeted this, that her pullout and her start didn't seem and don't generally seem like the strongest part of her race. And she's someone who trains in a short course yards pool year round. I don't think she has access to long course unless she's somewhere else in the US. So I think that that's something that when she heads to Texas next year, if she works on that and gets her start and her pullouts and her like beginning of each 50 a bit stronger, I don't see any reason that she can't get back down to where she was last year. I don't think that it takes 1 year of not making the team to count out an Olympic gold medalist moving forward. She's still young, hasn't even started the NCAA. So disappointing for her, I'm sure, but I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens next when she heads to the NCAA.
I had the pleasure of sitting next to her parents during that race tonight. And her parents are really wonderful. I got to spend a little bit of time with them when I went up to Seward, Alaska to shoot with Lydia for a few days. But one of my favorite parts about that whole race was that swim parents take note was that, you know, their daughter was the Olympic champion. She got fourth tonight and they were like, oh, darn. You know, they weren't like devastated. They weren't in tears. They were just like, well, okay. Yeah. That's a bummer. Yeah. And it was really cool to see. I'm really excited about this, to be honest, because Lydia's an 18-year-old kid, and she's been at the pinnacle, the highest point of the sport. And now, you know, she's kind of at a low point. And I think it's important to experience both of those things. And kind of get to know yourself in the way of like, okay, how do I move forward through this? And one cool thing is that like, she knows that she has more coming. Like, she's already committed to swimming in Mare Nostrum this summer. So it's like, she gets to go to Europe and go to this cool meet series. We have nationals in Irvine. So it's like, especially this summer, if you don't make the world's team, you've got these options. You've got other meets you can go to. You can have a full long course season. And it's not kind of this, like the Olympic trials, right? When you go to trials and you get third or fourth in your event, you're like, well, that's my whole summer.
Yeah.
And like, that's it. That's the only shot I get. So I'm really excited to see how she progresses throughout the rest of this summer, and excited to get her to see her compete more and not just have this be the end of her season.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's exciting. I didn't know that she was going to Mare Nostrum. It'll be fun to watch. That's, I think, in May, right? Late May.
Yeah, it's in late May. I believe her and Michael Andrew are the only two Americans going, or at least the only ones that have committed. Okay. And they both committed before they are even on the world's team, which I think is pretty neat too. They were just like, yeah, I want to go do this. And I'm gonna.
And Lydia is interesting because she is younger, but she recently went to Europe for, I think, an arena photo shoot. And she seemed to be hanging out with Florin and Sarah Schustrom and Bruno Fratis and Noe Ponti. So like she'll have fun at Mare Nostrum, I'm sure. And she seems like someone who just enjoys what they do, no matter what meet they're swimming at.
Yeah. As I was saying before, I think, you know, she was at the highest point you can get in our sport. And I think the year coming down off of that, you experience a lot of new things, right? Like going to Europe for a photo shoot with your sponsor Arena.
Exactly.
And meeting all of these other Olympic caliber athletes and getting to spend time with them. And it's just, she's gone through a lot this year. And so again, I'm excited to see how she reacts to this. It was cool. Lily King in the interview room said, you know, I know what the year after winning an Olympic gold medal is like, and it's really hard. You know, it's hard to come down off of that. And I would like to talk to Lydia and just kind of check in at some later point, because I know I've been there before. So it's nice to see her kind of reacting and giving that sentiment. Moving on from breaststroke. Nick Fink won the 100. That happened. It's honestly really cool to see him doing so well in a year where he was also getting his master's at Georgia Tech in electrical engineering, one of the best engineering schools in the country. You know, swimming wasn't on the forefront for him. And even so, he got a national title in the 100, national title in the 200, second in the 50 breasts. So now he'll probably get to swim that at Worlds as well. So pretty cool to see him have that kind of success.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of when everyone came out of COVID and everyone was just throwing down best times. It's like, he probably wasn't training as hard as he has in the past. And then he's coming out of this. And I think that 100 breast was the best time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was.
So yeah, I'm excited to see how he does this summer. And Michael Andrew as well. Great. I mean, not a best time in the 100, but on the team again. And what is that, his fourth event, probably?
So let's see, 100 fly. Oh yeah, because he'll probably get the 50 fly, 100 breast, 50 breast. So yeah, he's got four going for that fifth one in the 50 free tomorrow.
Yeah.
Man, that is so many swims at this meet and at Worlds. So
yeah, we'll
see how that goes. Leah Smith got her third swim. She was qualified in the 800, qualified in the 4x2. And now she got the 400 free again. Really great to see her bounce back from her off year and not making the Olympic team to moving to Texas, training with Carol Capitani, Mitch Dalton, and the women's team, and then seeing her qualify in the 4 and the 8 again.
Yeah, I think even that is a good kind of comparison to look at Lydia Jacoby. You know, this is like year two for Lydia, and for Leah, who's been competing since probably 2014 or 2015, she's now like almost 10 years later. And she had that setback from Tokyo, not making Tokyo, that Olivia, that Lydia just experienced. And so it just shows that, like, if you keep training and you keep staying on it, which Leah Smith certainly has done, making the move to Arizona State, you can always make your way back. So yeah, it's great to see that Leah's back on the team. And I think she'll be great this summer.
Yeah, just a little, again, a little insight for our listeners, but this interview is coming out with her in a couple days. But in one of her post-race interviews, you know, she was like, basically since high school, I had never had a bad taper meet. It had always pretty much gone according to plan. And so at Olympic trials this past summer, my worst fear was realized, you know, and now I didn't make the team. I didn't do well. And now I know what it's like to fall flat on my face. And so I don't really have to be as afraid of it anymore. You know, I have been there. I don't have to, it's not the unknown anymore. So I kind of know what to expect and can move forward saying, you know what, this is the worst it can be. And I know that because I've been there. So some really great insight from her. And last but not least, men's 400 free, Trey Freeman almost finked Kieran Smith. And it was so great. He split 27.04 on the last 50 of his 400 free, 3.46.9 to Kieran Smith's 3.46.6. Kieran closed in 27.8. No one else was under 28 seconds on their last 50 in the field. Kieran and Trey, both in the interview room, were like, it's pretty much how training goes. You know, Kieran will go out fast and Trey will bring it home fast. And that's just kind of how things are on a day-to-day basis in the floor mid-free group. What was your reaction to that last 50 and to Trey getting on the team and passing Ross Dant?
I had the live stream on my computer and I was kind of just like not watching towards the end of the race. I was just cleaning my apartment and then I heard what was happening and I heard Rudder screaming and I ran over and it was really exciting to watch. I thought that he was going to win. I thought he was going to catch him. And yeah, but he made it onto the team. Who was that? Was third place Ross Dant, who was second place.
And then
we're taking. Yeah. So too bad for him, but I think that this 400 was overall, or at least at the top end, faster than what we saw last summer. So it's good to see that two guys were under the FINA. I think three guys were under the FINA A here. And I think it just goes to show how strong that Florida group is. You know, they already had five Olympians, I think, last summer in Natalie, Katie, Caleb, Kieran, and Bobby. And now they have a sixth person on the team. So yeah, it was cool to see. I'd like to see a last 50 battle between Fink and Freeman in an event. I don't know what event that would be, but see who can hold off the longest and then pounce at the end.
That actually happened before where they did it at a dual meet. I forget which duel it is, but Bobby was telling me about this when I was at Florida. And yeah, it might be in a GMM, in Bobby's last GMM, but basically they did this in 1,000. They both were like, okay, whoever can split the fastest last 50 on this 1,000, like that's the winner. And Trey got him, and like Trey just outsplit him by this much and also beat him by this much. And so it's, we've seen it happen. And
that's so funny. When was it?
Freeman is the new Bobby Fink.
Yeah.
All right. We do have one last thought. And the last thought is that everyone made the team.
Yeah. Right?
We have had enough repeats and enough doubles that everyone 1 through 6 in the men's and women's 100 and 200 free is getting on the team. So that means Mallory Comerford. I don't remember who else.
I don't remember who was like 5th and 6th in the 200. Who is it? Kobe Carroza.
I don't know. Kobe in the 200. All right, let's see here. Mallory Comerford, Kate Douglas, well, she already made it, but she was 5th in the 100 free. Drew Kibler and Hunter Armstrong tied for 4th. Justin Ress.
Yeah, that'll
made the team. What? He was 6th in the 100 free. That's really? Ding dong. What? Jack, you didn't know that, dude?
You didn't know it earlier either.
What else? Alex Walsh in the 200 free. Bella Sims, who got fifth in the 200 free. Trey Freeman already made it. And Kobe Carrozza. Yeah. So they're all on the team. That's very exciting. Justin Rest, good for him.
And this is from Robert Gibbs, who's been paying very close attention to the entries and the roster. He's projecting, based on the criteria and how it works, that since Rest made it in the 100 free, that he'll be able to swim the 50 back individually at the meet. Really? So even though he didn't make the 100, didn't make the 200, mm-hmm. he was second in the 50, third fastest all time, got under 24 seconds. And it's looking like there's a way for him to get onto the team. I think that it might come down to discretion in terms of selecting for events for USA Swimming. But but yeah, there's a shot that he'll be able to race. But that uncertain.
Is very intriguing. Yeah, because I would think that the priority would just go to the number two qualifier in the 100, which in this case, my opinion, it should not. It should go to Justin Rest if he is on the team and got second in the 50 at Nationals. I'm thinking goes to him.
Right. And it comes down to the fact that Ryan Murphy didn't win, because if Ryan Murphy was first in the 100, then I think that 50 spot would go to him. But since Murphy got second and Armstrong won the 50 and the 100, I think that opens the door for Rest. So
that would be really cool for him.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. A lot to process there. Hope you followed all that, listeners and viewers. If you didn't, just go read more Swim Swam. Let's see. Tomorrow night, a little insight into my life. We will not be doing this. I'm going to a wedding. I'm leaving the meet early. So someday after that, we are coming at you with a full World Champ Trials recap.
3-hour pod.
3-hour pod. And then after that, mini world champ previews to come after that. So thanks for tuning in for the 2022 US World Championship Trials Swim Swam Breakdown.